And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
Ba-boom.
This is how my voice sounds normally.
Not at all. Not at all. You're normally much more melodic than that.
I just thought with the new stuff, my voice might sound different now.
It sounds like you now.
Oh, I'm not kidding. Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're using the real me. You're using FPT that shitty listeners. USB mic that picked up everything around you. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to, I don't know. It feels more real, to be honest with you.
Mm.
It sounds like what I know your voice to sound like. Because right. When we hang
but
out
now
together,
people are going to be like, that's what he sounds like? Oh, God.
Obviously, it's not that dramatic. And there's probably a lot of people that are like, I can't tell a difference. And that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm afflicted with the, I don't know, I'm an engineer, for God's sakes.
Right.
I listen to all the little. I hear all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
What was that?
Did you hear that truck go by? That was a truck going by.
Just so we don't lose the original ambiance of,
yes,
of what people are used to hearing for 130 yeah. episodes.
I wish it was raining. Remember the couple of times it's been like hurricanes coming through here and you could hear the roof?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to stop one time, didn't we?
I think so. Yeah, it got real bad.
It was like you had 150 like young redneck kids out there in Paris, Tennessee, all with their Red Ryder BB guns and unlimited ammo and just yes. lighting up your place.
Yeah.
All I couldn't take it anymore, if I am remembering mm-hmm. correctly.
Yeah.
But that happens to you sometimes anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
over
yeah.
there in Paris.
Yes. It's very backwoody.
That's why hillbilly. You have the dogs, the guard right. dogs.
Yeah, the Bumpuses.
Well, we're a Pearl Jam podcast. If this is your first listen, thanks for hanging out with us. And we've both been, quote unquote, you haven't been actually. Well, I don't know. The quarantine thing, I feel a little stir crazy.
Yeah, let's talk about the virus. Let's just get it out of our systems now at the top and not talk about it the rest of the show.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's just been a weird, strange week with all this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Aiden's had a couple freak outs because it's, you know, he doesn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
And for obvious reasons, but it's, you know, it's hard to, you don't want to say, well, no, dude, everything's fine. Cause that's not right. really true.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah. I don't want him like laying in bed at night thinking some disease is going to come get right. his whole family. You know, it's like, no, dude, we're being smart.
Yeah. Amanda kind of did the same thing. She was talking about like moving out. Because she doesn't want to get me or her mother sick.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I've been staying. Like, I'm lucky that I can work in a solitary environment.
Mm-hmm.
So when I, you know, I think we talked about it last week, maybe not. When I come to work right now anyway, I'm in my own isolated room. I literally walk into my garage, get in my car, get out of the car when I get here. No one else, all the office spaces around us are completely empty, understandably. And I just walk straight into my studio and that's it. But
right.
what's weird for me is not, I'm used to being around people a lot though. And that's kind of you know, working with other people, writing with people, you know, doing sound design, all that kind of stuff. And now it's, I'm not saying obviously forever, but that's kind of gone right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as a musician, I'm fucked. Because if I don't work, I don't get paid. And all the sessions are canceled. And all the shows I was going to play this month are canceled. And what am I going to, I don't, there's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. I'm not freaking out only because there's just nothing I can do about it. I can't change anything. And I think that's the weirdness everyone feels is, oh, I just got to kind of like stay at home and that's all I can do. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the kind of action we're used to taking, but
yeah. Well, in my job with doing deliveries, like I'm supposed to go into people's houses every day and, you know, set up washers and dryers and refrigerators and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's like kind of freaking me out because I don't want to bring it home.
Sure.
You know, they've talked about giving us, if someone gets it and they get sick, they'll give you 2 weeks paid off.
Right.
And you can stay off, you know, as long as you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of in a different category where because of Susan, she's on this like immunotherapy for the all year, for like a year. She's in like, she's in the category where I do not need to bring it home to her. So they're discussing if I can just take 2 weeks off, even if I'm not sick.
Yeah.
So that's one good thing. And the other good thing is we just had the guy that drives the flatbed truck. He's just had surgery, so he's going to be off for like 6 weeks or something. So if I'm driving that truck, that's mostly like lumber and like shingles, that kind of stuff. Right. I can just, you know, get it off the truck with the forklift, set it down outside and be like, just wave at him and be like, bye. You know what I mean? So I have less contact with people for the next few weeks.
That's good.
So I'm just kind of like crossing my fingers that between that and then taking 2 weeks off, because we haven't had any confirmed cases around here, not in this county, but there is like one in each of the counties surrounding us.
Well, so, and I'm sure a lot of that is people not being tested.
Yeah, right.
So
I know it's coming. But anyway,
yeah,
well, I know it's, I don't know. It's just a crazy time right now.
Yeah, I think it's,
but hopefully,
I think it's more about our reaction to it in a way, you know, in terms of things like my niece who has autoimmune issues. And, I mean, I've talked a little bit about it on the show, but I don't even understand all of it. All I know is that she was going to the NIH like once or twice a year for testing and all this stuff. Anyway, the point being is that, you know, my sister's like texting me to see if we have any hand sanitizer that we can send to them in California. Right? And it's like,
yeah,
because it's really like she's a high risk. And so they actually need it and they can't fucking get any. And they're texting people in other states to send whatever they can spare, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, God damn. It's I think it's a good dress rehearsal for other stuff.
The end of the world.
I mean, no, but
at least we have a leader that, you know, knows what he's doing and he's taking care of things.
Had to get one of those jabs in there, didn't you? Let's talk about some positive stuff. I've been binging the fuck out of some, well, Hulu, some Netflix, going back to some old stuff that I haven't watched in so long, like Arrested Development, which was always one of my favorites. I'm one of those nerds. But I haven't watched the first three seasons in probably a couple years, and holy shit, it's been great. Just laughing my ass off by myself on the couch.
That show is incredible.
Will Arnett Everyone on that cast is great. Will Arnett, oh my God, I watched the episode the other night where he's like dating Lucille too, and Liza Minnelli's character, and she likes him to read the menu. Do you remember that? He's like,
no.
Chicken fingers with spicy club sauce. And she's like, oh my God. She's like kind of getting off on it in the restaurant. Right. I was just crying, laughing at the way he was reading. Just little shit like that. And then there's fucking Buster. Every time there's a I'm a monster moment, I'm fucking crying, laughing.
Yeah.
Oh God, that show's so good. So I've been enjoying that. Hey, brother. That's my Wi-Fi password. I'm not shitting you. But the name of my Wi-Fi network is Bob Blah Blah's Law Blog.
Yeah. That is like one of my favorite jokes on the entire show.
Oh God, it's so good.
Blah blah blah.
So that kind of stuff's been my antidote. I've been trying to use the time in the studio to be productive, and it's been kind of I don't want any of this stuff to be going on, but it provides a bit of a reset button for me with work. I can kind of try and catch up on everything that's kind of loose ends and everything that I can do by myself, and maybe once all this lifts, I can be in a better spot to get good work done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just trying to be positive about it as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, we hope everyone's doing okay out there.
And, yeah, for sure.
Hopefully we want to keep doing the show. So we hope this gives people some kind of escape for a little bit every week.
Yeah. Cause I know for some of you guys, depending on where you guys live, you guys were bored as shit probably. So
yeah, I've been going back and forth with like I should do like a bonus episode where I just play songs, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna
like we've done in the past, and I just
do that.
I get like self-conscious, like do people really want to hear my stupid favorite songs?
Well, if you're worried about that, then it doesn't matter, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like if you want to do that, do it. People are going to listen to it or not.
Okay. Well,
as long as you enjoy doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that shit, especially not right now. Just turn that new beautiful SM7 microphone on.
Yeah, that's hit record. Yeah, I thought about that. That's what I was thinking this past week, like, oh,
just fucking do your thing.
I want to try this. Yeah, I've got the equipment. I might as well play with it.
Yeah.
That'll give you something to do.
Yeah, because I need more. I need more editing you in my life. That's what I need.
I wish there was a way I could do it myself.
Oh, you can. You can fucking learn how to do it.
Yeah.
You have everything you need, literally. There's ways to do it, man. YouTube. All the information is there. You don't have to go to school or anything to learn how to do this shit.
Yeah. All right. I'll see if I can figure it out.
And you're like, no, I get it. So when can I send you some stuff to edit?
Exactly.
That's great, so Brad. Maybe I will empower myself and learn something. But
I just know that stuff is very, I get crazy and I don't want to like throw the, you know, laptop out the window, because that's how like stressed I get when I can't figure stuff out.
Another reason to do it. All right. Well, talk to you next week.
All right.
Oh, we watched Dumb and Dumber too.
Mm.
Laughed our asses off about that. And embarrassingly, about halfway through the movie, Leslie looks at me and goes, oh my God, 90% of all your little lines and stuff are from this movie. And Aiden goes, oh my God, you're right. And it was true. Like every 5 minutes, someone would say something, and then they would both look at me like,
that's where you got it.
A thousand fucking times. And I'm such a dick about it too, because I don't, I know sometimes I'm actually very, I don't know, socially aware. Maybe that's why I don't like it and it's exhausting for me. But I'll use the Big Gulps line incessantly. Even if I know these people are not going to get the reference. You know what I'm saying? Do you even get the reference?
Yeah. No.
There's a fucking scene where they've stopped at like 7-Eleven or whatever, and Jim Carrey is coming out of the 7-Eleven, and there's two dudes standing there outside the door, and they both have Big Gulps in their hands. And he walks up to them, and they're just standing there, and he goes, "Big Gulps, huh?" And they don't say a fucking word. And he goes, "All right, see you later." So every time there's an awkward lull in conversation, right, I'll go, "Big Gulps, huh? All right, see you later." And if you get it, it's pretty fucking funny. If you don't, then I sound like a psycho person.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Pearl Jam?
We should.
I didn't drink Red Bull, but I did just have two cups of coffee in pretty quick succession.
Yeah. So, you're up today, which is good, because I'm just like,
bleh. Well, one of the reasons is that we're not starting earlier than we normally do.
No, it's just weird, dude. I'm telling you, it's a weird. The crazy thing is, like, everything is kind of like business as usual around here. Like, we're not on lockdown like California, and I guess Illinois just announced it, you know? So, like, I go out, but what's crazy is gas is, like, so fucking cheap. But, like, I go out, I go to work, there's people walking around. It's, you know, Walmart is kind of weird, but there's tons of people in there. But, like, half of the shelves are just are empty. There's no toilet paper. It hasn't been toilet paper for a month now. But there is all this insanity going on, like, in the outside world. So it's really strange for me. I'm just in a weird headspace.
We've been taking it pretty seriously, I guess. Like, we've all been staying at home, and Leslie started just working from home. It's been about, I don't know, a week of that. And I don't know, man. One of the weird things about it is that it's not something that you can see. Like, it's not,
right,
it's not in my face, right? Mm-hmm. Or yet, anyway. It's something that still feels like it's somewhere else.
Right.
And that's sometimes
what I'm saying.
Sometimes I'm like, am I being overly dramatic about this? Or like,
right,
like, I should be staying home, right? Or not, you know, not being around people. That right, kind of feels insane to me, right? There's that emotional part of you that's like, that doesn't make any sense. That's over there. That's in Italy. That's in China. That's in whatever.
And I'm not like, sick.
No.
I have to go to work. I'm not sick.
Right.
But then there's like, you're going to make people sick. You might not even ever get sick, but you'll carry it to other people.
Then that's the thing that I always have to remind myself.
Mm-hmm.
That, and that I do live with, I mean, he would have no idea. He's 72 years old, but, you know, Leslie's dad lives with us, and I don't want to fuck with that.
Yeah.
I love that guy, you know? I don't want anything happening to him. So if it means I need to stay away from people, and I'm going to lose money, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And I only say that because there's a lot of people probably listening that are in the same boat. That's not a poor me or I'm unique or anything. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then I have to remind myself, like, man, how selfish would I feel after the fact if I somehow pass this on to someone I love? And fuck it. I'll figure the money out somehow, you know? It's just weird that when you can't see it, how differently you react to things. But
did you see those kids on spring break? The video of those kids on spring break.
Like, here's the deal, man. No, but I don't need to. I know exactly what's on it.
It's awful. It's so awful.
Yeah, talk about the ignorance of youth, which we've all been.
So at least we're not those people.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, though. I don't think I would have been one of those people then. Like, back, if this happened when I was that age.
Yeah.
But whatever. I'm willing to ramble this episode because I need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, hopefully, if I get a couple, God, maybe I do have it. What I was going to say is, hopefully, if I get a couple weeks off, maybe we could do some, like, bonus content.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's one of my goals is, depending on how long this kind of lasts or whatever, is, like I said, getting all the loose ends in my work life and everything kind of caught up on and in a good place.
Right.
And then hopefully free up some time for other people that are sitting around looking for new things to listen to. You know what I mean? Get some extra episodes out there.
Other
than just the weekly. So I can edit all your shit. Let's talk about Pearl Jam.
How about that? Let's get into it. Yeah.
We're an all Pearl Jam podcast. If you'd like to email the show, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We are on social media, so go say hi there. And if you would like to support the show, which I know might be a weird time to say this, but I'm just going to say it. Go to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory, patreon.com. All that information is there. And I think we do actually have some new patrons.
We did. We got another one this week.
That's very grateful for that. So who we got?
Richard Hughes. Mm. He signed up over there at the Patreon.
Thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, thank you.
All right, let's get into some fucking emails. How about that?
Yeah.
30 minutes into the show.
Right, yeah. Sorry. Coronavirus just got me crazy. I'm good today, but like a couple of days ago, I was like, can we even do an episode? Like, I'm going to feel weird, like, not talking about. Like, the only thing I'm going to talk about is this stupid virus going around.
See, that's a good break.
But, yeah, totally.
Not thinking about it, not talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than the whole first 20 minutes of the show.
You know what it is? It's the thing is, when I go to work, I'm at work, everything's cool, I'm doing my job, listening to music, you know, riding around, delivering shit. It's all good. Come home, whatever. Then I get days off, and it's like all I do is like think about what's going on in the world.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to do something. Crazy. Go on a walk or something.
No, you can't.
Well, if you're not around people, not doing that in people's faces.
That's true.
We went on a walk. We drove to a spot and went on a walk yesterday, and we ran into two other people walking, and so we just kind of stayed on our side, and they did, and it's cool.
All right, but
it's good to get outside, man. Especially instead of thinking about that shit.
Well,
that you can't do anything about.
If it ever stops raining, maybe I would.
We haven't had. I mean, we had rain a couple of days ago, but it hasn't been constant or anything.
It just rains. It's raining or overcast every day for the last 3 months. And I'm just starting to go crazy.
I get it. Well, fuck it. Let's do some emails, man.
All right. Christy. Lawman Photography, Christy Borgman. She said, oh my God, I'm dying. I think Brad B was thinking of Cagney and Lacey. Ha ha. Thanks for the laugh.
Boom.
I remember I was talking about the 70s lady cop show.
Yeah.
It was Cagney and Lacey. I could not remember. I was thinking about it like until the next day.
You didn't
and
then just we got Google this email.
It? No, I should have.
Yeah. It's literally sometimes what it's there for.
I like to.
It's its only purpose is for that
situation. I know,
situation.
But I like to, I try to keep my brain active.
See if maybe just through sheer will of your brain power, it's going to come back to you.
It'll come back to me, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, what if Google goes away?
What if what?
What if, what if Google goes away? The internet might be down.
Easy for you to say. It's not going down, man. Netflix, on the other hand.
Yeah, has your Netflix and Hulu like been acting wonky?
Hulu's been fine, but I think we got I don't think we did. I, just before we started recording, I checked my email and there was like all these, because we just have had Netflix for the last 2 days or 3 days, oh, something like that. And got an email that was like, hey, Alfredo, just letting you know that it's official. You've removed, and then it was my email address from this account. This email address can no longer be used to log into this account, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And then one of those, like, if this wasn't you asking for this, please contact us now. But I guess Leslie got the same email and took care of it. But yeah, old Alfredo was trying to steal our shit.
Mm.
So we couldn't log in.
Oh, no.
I thought it was like software problems or something, but
hmm.
Nope.
Well, I just figured because so many more people are home that the signal isn't as strong.
Right. That's why we just kind of gave it a day or two. But after when it was the third day, I was like, what? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That's not it.
I was trying to watch SpongeBob.
Wow.
And like 5 minutes into the episode, it like clicked off and said, you know, we're having trouble playing this right now. And it seems like that's been happening a lot.
Who are you, Squidward? Who are you? If you were in SpongeBob, what character would you be? I'm going to have to brush up on this.
Wouldn't I be Patrick?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Oh, that's done deal. Okay, cool. Moving on.
Or maybe SpongeBob, like if I'm having a good day, if I'm really like...
Yeah, your good days, you're rocking excited. A hard SpongeBob, I think. You're right.
Yeah. All right, what we got next?
We got Kale. Says, hi, Brads. Please excuse the odd time to be sending an email, but I had to send it as soon as I listened to the episode. I've created something in the GarageBand app that is relevant to Red Mosquito episode banter that I thought you would enjoy. I hope others haven't beat me to it. The audio file is attached. Best wishes from California Quarantine, Kale. So... this is, you want to set this up?
Yeah, last week, I don't even remember what I was talking about, why I brought it up, but I brought up the Jingle Bell, the dogs barking the song Jingle Bells. And you even put one of my favorite moments ever in SPT history was that you dropped in a little bit of the dogs singing Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
So this is some dogs singing to Temple,
Hunger Strike.
What is it actually? Hunger Strike.
It's the guitar part for Hunger Strike.
Right.
Done with dog barks.
Right.
So get ready for your minds to be fucking blown. Here it is. That is Hunger Strike, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I love it. It's smart and thoughtful,
mm-hmm.
funny, yeah. and appropriately annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the perfect length of a clip for that thing. If it went on
right.
5 seconds longer, it's like, okay. And then it turns into one of those Peter Griffin Family Guy moments.
Right.
Where...
No, it's a great callback.
Nice work, Kale. We appreciate
and
it.
And it's just appropriately silly
yeah.
enough
love it.
To make me laugh. I love it. Thank you, Kale.
Is that really hard to do, though? Make you laugh? You laugh a lot.
No.
It's great.
But I'm kind of picky. I'm picky with my humor, I think.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't think I'm super picky, but there's a couple of things that just like I don't want to hear ever, and I don't think they're funny.
What's a song that you're like, man, have we already, and stop me if we've already done this, but what's a song by anyone that's just like, man, I would be totally fine if I never heard that song ever again in my life? In fact, my life would be better.
Is it Tub Thumping Is that a song or is that the name of the band?
I get knocked down.
Don't.
Oh, that
don't
bad for you, in my huh? head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I hate that song so much.
Van hates Bad to the Bone.
Really?
Yeah. Hates it. It offends really? Every sensibility about rock and roll and music. One. And.
Mm-hmm. No, that's just a good old blues rocker. What's that dude's name?
George Thorogood and the Destroyers. George Thorogood.
Yeah.
I think that's their name. If not, what's then another, that should be their fucking name. If not, I'm going to take it. It's going to be, I'm going to have Brad Lyons and the Destroyers.
Yeah.
But only put out really acoustic pan flute instrumental music.
It's the total opposite.
Brad Lyons and the George Destroyers. Thorogood. Special guest, Yanni.
What's that song? I think Bittersweet Symphony. That's another one.
Oh, you don't like that song?
No, I hate
it. Man, that's a good song.
I hate it. How did we get on this?
I just asked you. I don't know okay. why. I'm sorry.
Out of nowhere. All right. That's cool. Do you have any?
We're switching roles.
What's some songs that you hate? Just irritate you to no end.
Funny thing is, I asked you that question, and I don't know that I have an answer right now. I'll be thinking about it. Okay, who's next?
Michael. He says, Brad's, hello again from Beacon, New York. I've been ping-ponging between the new episodes and the old ones, so this email is a bit of a reaction to things old and new. First off, I hope you and your families are doing well and staying healthy. The coronavirus situation has really turned things upside down, and we're all doing our best to stay sane. A single podcast theory has definitely given me a chance to laugh and reminisce and steep in the sonic goodness of the band that is and was the soundtrack to my life. I'm extremely excited for the album drop. As in the past, this album will mark an era and guide me through the challenging time as the songs indelibly make their way into my soul. Too bad about the tour Sorry.
It's okay.
Should I do it again?
No.
No, fuck it. Too bad about the tour postponement, but I think it's definitely for the best. Got to keep everyone safe. Too many crew, fans, families involved, not to mention the band. Okay, I can't remember if I heard this in an old or new episode, but here's one thing I wanted to respond to. Top 5 Pearl Jam live moments. This was just a few weeks ago. Danny B, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Danny B sent in his top five Pearl Jam live moments. Number 5, he says, hard to imagine, was in the first encore, East Rutherford, New Jersey, 2006. My fiance and I had just found out we were pregnant with our first child. Hard to imagine was a big song for me when we broke up and got back together in 2003. Hearing it live for the first time with her was incredible. Man, I love that song.
Yeah, I do too. It's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was one that was like, I don't know where I heard, if I heard it like on the radio, but it was like an Easter egg because it was on a soundtrack for some indie movie called Chicago Cab that like I'd never heard
of. Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I found the CD somewhere and I like just listened to that song over and over. Number 4, Immortality in Hartford, 2008. Absolutely transcendent. I think Mike opened a portal to the heavens and our souls were carried back and forth. So powerful. Randall's Island, September 29th, 96. The night before, we all got rained on and Eddie said they were going to play more songs and better than before to make up for it. Present tense as the second to last song had an incredible energy and the flashing lights during the guitar at the end took me to another place. The light and sound merge into a moment that I'll never forget. I've watched a show on the internet and it gives me chills each time. He says Rearview Mirror in New York, July 8th, 2003. Rearview Mirror closed out this first set and blew my mind. That entire show was incredible, but this song took the cake. The sounds they created and the power they infused into that building. Wow. And then his first Pearl Jam show was Boston, April 10th, 94. I think this was just a couple days before the, what's that theater? They did a theater show in Boston. I think we did a show on it, didn't we?
I don't know.
I think we, you know what I'm talking about, though? It's, I think they released it. I think it's a vault show, or they might have released it just as a separate live. Fuck. I can't remember the name of that theater. Anyway, this was not that show. This was at the Boston Garden. But it was at the original Boston Garden days after Kurt died. They opened with Release. All the emotion and sadness I was feeling rushed through me as I sang myself sore and teared up. The energy that night was like nothing I ever experienced before in a crowd of people I didn't know. I couldn't imagine a stronger way to get ushered into the power of Pearl Jam live. Man, I wish I had seen them back in, you know, before. Like, my first show was 95. So to have seen them like 93, 94 would have been pretty cool, dude, too.
So good.
And my bonus moment, Reading, Pennsylvania, October 1st, 2004. I was able to be on the front rail, Mike's side, which had never happened before. The band was in the Yellow Ledbetter, and Jeff was off by the guitar techs watching Mike finish the song. We locked eyes, and I held my hands together like in a prayer and mouthed, "Thank you." He smiled and nodded back and mouthed, "Thank you." Amazing. Sorry for the long email, but you guys get me pumped up for Pearl Jam. Bear hug explosions to you both, Michael.
Hell yeah. Man, that's that number, what was it, number three on his list, the Randall's Island, talking about present tense.
Present tense.
That's one of those songs where, I don't know, it's, to me, the power of that song live is that you're experiencing exactly what I feel like the song is talking about. It's
right.
That's what I love about shows, is that you are, I feel like, more truly, quote unquote, in the moment at shows than you are normally in your life. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that just kind of causes why so many people will pay money and go see a band. It's not the only reason, but part of it is that experience of forgetting all the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, just right now, I'm with these people, and that band is on stage, and we're all kind of sharing in the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that, to me, that song is talking about. It's just like what's happening right now being what matters, you know? I don't know. I fucking love that song so much. It's one of those songs where it never leaves. There's never, ever, ever been a time where present tense comes on and I'm like, ah. And I've done that to some great songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you just go through phases with songs where you're like, ah, I just.
Yeah, you're not in a mood.
It's a great song. I love it. Yeah, I'm just not in the mood for it lately. But every time that guitar part starts, I'm like, oh. Oh my God.
Here we go.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Take a moment. Now, he also brought up the, you know, the new album's coming up this week.
Like 5 days.
On Monday. It's, yeah.
Four days. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, 5 days. Wow.
Yeah. Cannot wait. That's something to look forward to. That'll get my mind off of all this stuff.
Can't wait.
Going on.
Can't wait.
And I don't know if you realized they have put out like a 15 second snippet every day of each song.
I know.
Yeah.
And it sounds fucking cool. Holy shit.
The leak.
The album leaked
a few days ago.
Yeah, I'm not.
We've had some people reach out. I'm not either. I mean, if you want to, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just, I know I'll feel icky if I listen to it early.
Yeah.
I did it with the new Tool album. I actually listened to it like a week before it came out because it got leaked, and I'm like, I can't. I want to wait, but I can't. And so I listened to it, and it was cool. But at the same time, I felt kind of weird.
Yep, I learned that lesson.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I learned that lesson when I was younger. I remember when leaks were much more prevalent than they are now. But I did it a couple times, and I can't even remember what bands they were or whatever. That's, I guess, not really important, but I just felt like then it didn't feel special on release day, and I wasn't actually sharing in it with everyone else that was excited about it. And I was like, fuck this. I'd rather wait another week or a month or whatever it is and I don't, because that's what I love about buying records or albums is that.
Yeah.
It's the whole process of like, you know what the date is.
Right.
It's just anticipation leading up to it and hearing little clips and, you know, are there, how many singles are going to come out before the record comes out? And then there's just that feeling that today, everyone else that loves Pearl Jam, you know, on this day, they're all doing the same thing wherever they are.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited.
Who we got next? Chris Thomas.
Yeah.
He says, hi, Brad and Brad. In some ways, choosing Red Mosquito as a song to go over in a time like this brings a lot of irony. If I had known then what I know now, without getting too political, I have a feeling a lot of decision makers in this country are asking themselves just that. At least we have Gigatron to look forward to in less than 2 weeks. If I do find myself quarantined, I can expect myself to spend a lot of quality time with a new record. That's true. Again, I hate that all of this is going on, but if I'm going to be stuck at home a little bit, I'm going to be listening to a lot
totally.
Of the fucking Gigaton record.
Yeah. Well, I'll be obviously doing that, but I'm also going to be watching, you know, there's so many concerts, full concerts, like on YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
That normally I just don't feel like sitting and watching a three-hour concert, you know?
Right.
But if I have 2 weeks off, I'm going to be watching a bunch of shows.
Right. Yeah, man. I wish that they were doing something where, I mean, obviously they can't do anything inviting people, but it'd be cool if they could record some sort of live, even like a short set or something to put out on their website or whatever.
Yeah.
Just
well,
as
speaking
a,
of that, did you see there's a cover band called Black Circle? And they played
that weirded me out a little bit.
It's crazy. Did you watch it? Were you watching it live?
I watched some of
all?
It. No, I don't know if I caught it live. I just clicked, you sent me a link or something that I clicked on.
If you clicked on it that night, that was them live.
That's funny. Well, yeah. I watched it live. And then I saw a clip of Black, maybe? I don't know.
I think they played Black. It's incredible how much this dude sounds like Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that Pearl Jam would ever do this, but he sounds so much like Eddie in a really natural way.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like maybe that's just how he sings. It's like some weird doppelganger thing going on.
Yeah. No, I think he just happens to sound exactly like Eddie when he sings.
Because he doesn't do a caricature. It's not a...
No.
I don't know. It's not a Scott Stapp thing. It's not a...
Right.
Like we've talked about before, I felt like Scott Weiland was much more of a here kind of guy than Eddie really was. But he didn't have any of that stuff. He just has that baritone, and there's something about the timbre in his head voice that sounds shockingly like Eddie.
If you didn't know that wasn't Eddie, I mean, it'd be hard to realize that's not him. And people that haven't heard probably are like, come on. But it's crazy how much he sounds like Eddie.
I totally agree with you because you hear Eddie sing because their live shows are so ubiquitous and we can listen to them anytime we want to. And there's my iTunes is just fucking full of Pearl Jam live shows. And Eddie sounds a little bit different night to night. You're not going to get the same exact Eddie every time. And therefore, I closed my eyes while I had that link up, and it was just out of my fucking iPhone speakers.
Right.
And I was like, would I believe this is Eddie? And I was like, I think I would know it wasn't Pearl Jam because of the band. And I'm not shitting on this band, but, I mean, I've listened to them as a musician so many times. I'd be like, okay, who is playing drums? That is not Mike. That kind of a thing. But the vocal would have fucking thrown me.
Yeah.
It is that good.
Yeah. But it was cool. It was cool watching that. And Dropkick Murphys did a live stream. It was just like their crew and some of their friends watching. Right. And I've seen some, there was, I think Willie Nelson did one the other night with a bunch of country people. So it would be awesome if Pearl Jam did something, man, if they did like a self-pollution radio.
Right.
Streaming video.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just put it out there. Please, guys, please. That would be amazing. Cause it's, dude, this thing, this shit's going to go on for months. Like, we're not going to have live shows for months. So, I mean, of course they don't owe us anything, but it would be so cool. And I'm sure people would pay, you know, they could do a charity thing.
Sure. No, I hear you, man.
And it's so much in line with self-pollution radio from 20 years ago. Like, they were doing it before all these other bands were doing it.
Sure. Oh, I miss that shit.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's continue on with Chris's email. He says, one thing you guys touched on during your episode on Red Mosquito was that there isn't another song in the catalog like it. The guitar sound isn't exactly the same coming from Mike, but for some reason I started hearing Half Full every time I listened to Red Mosquito. Lyrically, it's a much different song, and Ed's vocals are much more aggressive than Red Mosquito. Still, these two almost seem to be inspired musically by one another, where Mike is just going any which way he feels in the foreground and background. I ran a poll on the porch earlier this year because I love both songs, but go back and forth on which one I enjoy more. Red Mosquito got more than 80% of the vote, but I ended up voting Half Full because I love how angry and raspy Ed's vocals are. Forced to endure what I could not forgive, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, they seem like they could be brother sister songs, kind of.
I never thought of it until we got Chris's email. But yeah, I definitely like Red Mosquito more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I never even thought about how much they sound like each other. But now every time I hear them, I'm going to hear
right
both of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. Yeah, thanks for that, Chris. Appreciate it. We got one more. What you got?
We do. This is Amy Nguyen. She's talking about You Can't Deny Me. She says, I know this is an unpopular song, but as we're making it through COVID-19, stay-in-place protocols, trying to take care of my employees, and keeping my business open, I'm really connecting to You Can't Deny Me. So defiant. The higher, the farther, the faster you fly. You may be rich, but you can't deny me. Got nothing but the will to survive. You can't control, and you can't deny me. And now you want me to breathe and be so grateful for the air that I need. Don't make me pitiful. She says, I know that's out of order, but bam.
I agree, man.
Yeah.
When I read that email, and I've forgotten how much I love that second verse that she used or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now you want me to breathe and be so grateful.
I fucking love that
part of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I like that song. I know it's unpopular too, but I've never not liked it.
Yeah, same. Know? Same.
So
I am glad that it's not part of the new record, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the time kind of, there's too much time.
Yeah, for sure.
In between. So.
All right, cool. Well, that's emails for this week. Thank you guys so much for writing in. If you would like to write an email, again, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. All right, dude. We're going to talk about album art on a podcast, on an audio podcast.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. But you know, this is like, what do you call it? Interactive.
Oh, is it?
Grab your cover of 10.
Yeah.
You know, your CD.
Hit pause.
Open it up.
Hit pause real quick.
Right. Hit pause. Go get if you got the CD, if you got the vinyl, go grab it.
And if you listen to this in your car, you're fucked and you can't play along with us.
Yeah, just, yeah, sorry.
Thanks, Brad B.
Just, yeah. I wonder how many people listen in their cars.
I don't know.
Because that's what I do. I listen to, most times I listen to podcasts, I'm in my car or I'm at work in the truck.
Yeah.
So. Fuck you, Brad B., if you're listening to this in the truck. on my way to work.
You just told yourself to go fuck yourself for later.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to. Do you have one there in the studio you can look at?
I don't.
I bet you don't. Well, oh, I've got wait, mine.
Hold on a second. Actually, it's right here.
Yes.
Oh, dude, it is here. Hold on.
That's awesome.
And it is literally the one that I bought in 92.
That's awesome.
All right, let's see here.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, we might make a series out of this. I don't know if we're going to do every single album because there's probably a couple that there's not really much to really talk about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But some of them like this and No Code and Yield, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Man, but that's the thing about Pearl Jam is those maybe there's a lot going on for Pearl Jam, but even their most, I guess, basic packaging and album artwork is still pretty involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, look at the ass on Stone.
God, I know. It's good. Thick with two C's.
Look at that booty. Yeah. Stone got a booty up in the Stone Zone.
Yeah.
That long flowing hair, whatever that fucking flower, is that flowers on his shirt?
I don't know. Yeah,
some sort
right.
of orchid? Maybe or a lily?
Chili peppers?
Man. Look at those boots. Mm. And high tops.
Shrimp? Is it a shrimp?
A shrimp?
On his shirt.
Oh. Surely he's not wearing a black shirt with red shrimp.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, this photograph was taken by Lance Mercer, correct? But
mm-hmm.
Jeff yes. is the kind of the, here's my idea. He's the idea right. guy.
Yeah, he wanted a kind of like an all for one. He wanted the picture of them together to give off an all like an all for one type vibe. And unfortunately, they all have the coronavirus now. Because they are not practicing social distancing.
Yeah, if you want an example of the opposite of social distancing,
right?
It's the cover of 10.
Yeah. Now, I remember thinking this was pretty cool, but I was only like 16. I've heard that there's critics say that this is like super cheesy and even like this is, they were trying to not be like hair metal, but this is like a hair metal type picture. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
If you've never heard the music, I can see thinking that.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it was a weird time. I mean, I remember having, I don't think that I've felt that way about it, but I heard people say that back in the day, and I was like, I get that. But why I love this band so much is that it's exactly not that. That to me,
right.
based on the subject matter of the songs and all that, to me, it did give a vibe of what I loved about being in a band is you felt like you had your fucking gang, you know? Like,
well, that the thing is, like, I felt like this was the opposite of, like, hair metal. Like, all the metal bands were, like, tough guys and, like, all standing there posing in front of the cameras with, like, their mean face.
Right.
So for these guys to be, like all for one, like, everybody in type of thing.
Well, and it doesn't focus on any one person. It does. It's not right. like the lead singer looking all fucking gorgeous at the, you know, in the right. foreground yeah. with the rest right. of the band kind of in the background or any of that kind
and
of shit.
You can't even see Eddie's face. Like he's got his head down with his hair all over his face. Like
right.
he's the one guy you cannot see his face at all.
Mm-mm.
And then Dave Cruzan is in the back like.
Yeah.
It's kind of fitting that. Like he wasn't even in the band anymore. And these four guys that you can see the most are still in there today.
Right.
And I think I read he wasn't even in the band when the album came out, was he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Cause if I remember correctly, but, didn't it kind of happen just before they were having to do some shows and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. I think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
But all right, so the the Pearl Jam that's in the background, the giant Pearl Jam behind them, those are like 5 foot tall wooden cutouts that there's pictures somewhere. I think it's in the Rearview Mirror release, the greatest hits thing. There's probably some in the Pearl Jam 20 book too, but they're Jeff made those. He like cut each one of those out with in wood and put them like, you know, put them up on top of each other to take the picture of that against the brick wall.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of pictures out there of the like that were just taken on the day that you can see kind of what the set actually looked like. And I know for me, the only thing that felt weird at the time about the cover was the color. And and now, in a way, I love it just because of nostalgia and I don't know, you know, it's their first album and I've got such vivid memories of it. But I think I read somewhere or whatever that that was not originally the idea. That was one of the fights with them and the record company kind of advertising, marketing people or whatever, was that I think they wanted it to be a lot, if I remember right, was it like a darker red or something?
And, yeah, burgundy color.
Yeah, and they ended up going with this kind of pinkish hue.
Yeah, and the band picture was supposed to be black and white.
That's right, yeah.
Which I don't think, I don't know. I'd like to see a mock-up of that, because I feel like this cover with them being in black and white would be too much of a contrast. Like the black and white band, like cut out in front of a burgundy Pearl Jam logo.
Right.
I could be wrong. I'd like to see like a version of that. I guess the Redux version is similar. But even that is not, there's no red.
No.
It's all like black and white kind of tan.
Yeah, it's got
thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's interesting. It doesn't say 10 anywhere on the cover.
Yeah. It would lead you to believe that it's like a self-titled thing or something.
Right. When this was released, was it August 91? It was not released on vinyl. Vinyl was fucking deader than shit.
Right.
In those days. So the compromise was that the CD booklet opens up to almost, it's actually a little bit bigger than a normal vinyl.
Yeah, it's but close it to the looks, same size.
If you put it like in a poster or a poster frame, it's almost the size of a vinyl record. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool.
Yeah, look at the way they're dressed though. Come on. What's going on here, guys? I mean, I'm not one to talk. That some of that was my
Jeff's sexy off the shoulder straps.
Yeah, you can see the echoes of the 80s a little bit in there, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jeff is dressed more like, I don't know, take off the necklaces and the hat and you'd think he was going to some sort of Zumba class in the 80s. I don't even think Zumba was a thing in the 80s, but you know, you get what I'm saying.
Probably not.
Some sort of like jazzercise. That was big in the 80s, right? 80s and 90s, jazzercise.
Yeah.
That was the big workout craze. Yeah, he's ready for some fucking jazzercise, bro.
Right. Yeah, he's got the wristband.
Leggings. Athletic shoes. He's got the ripped up, what would you call that if a girl was wearing that? You know what I'm saying? Those like...
the shirt?
The spaghetti strap kind of vibe going on.
Right, yeah.
With the torn up t-shirt.
Right.
Love it.
Halter top? Is that what a halter top is? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I almost said that word just because it felt right, but I don't know that that's right.
But you don't. I just said it anyway.
Yeah, I'll let you say those things.
Ladies, let us know. What's a halter top?
We need to know.
The ladies, though, I bet the ladies love it. Let us know, ladies. Do you love the look that look Jeff's rocking?
It's like the equivalent of side boob, right? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Is that what that is? Showing his shoulder. Yes,
a bare shoulder. A male bare shoulder is the equivalent to side boob.
You know what I'm saying. Hey, it's better than the shrimp shirt.
Right.
But he makes up for the well-fitting jeans and that stone.
Yeah.
That, man. That Gossard ass.
Talk about swoon. Gassard.
I don't even know why that was funny. What does that mean? Gassard.
Gossard's
oh,
ass.
Oh, with ass?
Gassard. Man, yeah, Gassard.
Come on. Gassard. That's what you came up with? It sounds like you're talking about gas, not ass. Man, that was a real wasted opportunity for you there, Brad. Gassard. Oh boy.
Oh, all right. Well,
Gossard. More like Gassard.
Am I right?
Guys, this thing on?
Get it?
Hello?
Oh boy.
Oh. You know when you're at the DMV?
Go on. What's the deal with this virus?
Why is everyone freaking out?
I go to the store. There's no toilet paper. What's the deal with that?
What a weird psychological, like, kind of hive brain reaction.
That there's so
a fucking
crazy
pandemic, but we all got to go get fucking toilet paper. What?
Right. Not canned food, not bread, toilet paper.
Oh, they took all that, too. But well, yeah, it's almost like people went to the grocery side of whatever, you know, Target, Walmart, whatever, and just like, if it's here, I need all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird. Toilet paper. That's what we picked. It's like milk and bread. What?
Yeah.
You never look for the combination of milk and bread in daily life, or I don't.
The problem is, like, you can't eat 50 loaves of bread in the next 2 weeks.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
You ever eat 50 eggs?
Nobody ever eat 50 eggs.
50 eggs got to weigh a good 6 pounds.
One rule. No throwing up. He throws up, you forfeit everything.
Now, when was the last time you ever saw my boy throw up? Now, shut your mouth and give your money to Coco.
Look, what you have to say 50? Why couldn't you say 35 or 39?
That seemed a nice round number.
So it's all going to go bad.
Right.
In a couple weeks, except for the one or two loaves that you eat.
Tell them,
Brad. Same with milk.
Yeah.
People, calm down.
Well, I mean, maybe just about that stuff. But yeah, I get what you're saying. God, what were we talking about? Okay. Are we going to move to the inside now?
Yeah, let's flip it over.
This is my favorite part. This is what...
The lyrics?
Yeah. I don't know.
The lyrics are amazing.
Yeah, seeing all that handwritten stuff, I remember being like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I still love it.
Yeah. And did you... How many dollar bills did you write the Even Flow chorus on?
None. Not a one. You know what? Never even thought about it.
I was a big Pearl Jam nerd in those days. So every once in a while, I would do that.
Well, that's pretty cool. I wish I'd thought to do that.
Mm. Really?
No. I was just trying to throw you a bone.
Thanks.
And then you ruined it by questioning it, and I couldn't lie to you.
We'll just kind of go through, like, once. Okay. He just basically wrote the lyrics out for that one.
Yep.
Even Flow. He took a dollar bill, and it's like a negative copy of the back of a dollar bill, and then wrote, this is what drove me crazy. Okay? You ready?
Yeah.
This song, when it first came out, no one could understand what the hell he was saying. That was like the big joke about that song, is that he was just like mumbling.
Right.
And you open this up and you're like, awesome lyrics. And he doesn't write the lyrics for this song.
That's
this
true.
One song.
I remember
There's
that.
One song you wanted the lyrics for.
So
it was
true.
Even Flow. And all he writes is the fucking chorus, the part you can understand. on the this section of the lyrics, the song lyrics. So
that cheeky Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Alive. I just like that they're all like, they kind of look like they come out of his notebook, you know?
For sure.
Probably just like squiggly lines and, yeah, probably. He signed off with Edward Louis Severson III, which that's like his actual full name.
Right. Well, and of all the songs to put his that name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very fitting.
Why Go? Looks like a brick wall, kind of. And I think it's just, again, it's just like some of the stuff is squiggled out. Like he changed the lyrics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It says at the very bottom, for Heather. And I think he's told the story, but Heather was a girl he knew that was like 13 and got in some trouble. So they sent her away to like a asylum, whatever you call it, mental hospital, just because she was like smoking weed.
Retro
Chicago. Yeah.
She's insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Smoking the devil's lettuce.
Yeah. And then Black, kind of like Alive, where he just has like a word. This would be like, we've talked about like having those screens up on stage to like help you with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
That's how like these are just like one and two like, two words from each line of the song.
Yeah, Porch does the same thing.
Yeah. Jeremy, very reminiscent of the video where they're like showing, because this one is not handwritten. It looks like it's from a typewriter.
Yeah.
Which, if I remember right, doesn't the video have some like typewritten words on a screen?
Yes, it does. This is kind of referencing a newspaper article kind of thing.
Right, right. Oceans is like, it looks like ocean waves, which I always thought that was kind of, I know it's a coincidence. I don't think either band was copying each other, but if you open up the booklet to Nirvana's Nevermind, there's not song lyrics, but there's a paragraph that has lines from each song. And it's also in this like wavy typeset.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Go grab your Nevermind
no
case. We'll talk about that next.
Okay.
That booklet. Yeah, Porch is kind of like Black. It's just like just words. Dot, 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 word. Dot, 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 word.
Word?
Word. Garden is pretty self-explanatory. Deep is pretty self-explanatory. But I like how he wrote the word deep with, like, lines going through it.
Right. No lyrics for release. Well, that's, in general, that's one of the things that I loved about them then and I still love about them now is I love those, I think you referenced it in maybe Why Go, but I loved seeing a different version of the lyrics where, like, maybe that was his first mm-hmm. run at it. And then when he got it with the band, for whatever reason, he changed just a line or two or something like that. It's... I guess right. I've always been fascinating with how other people do it. And I felt like the inside of the liner notes or album art always gave you tiny little peeks into how maybe he does what he does
mm-hmm.
as a songwriter, as a lyricist and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you get to see the process, even the stuff that he decided to cut out, you know?
Well, and it's super, like, artistic, too. Just the fact that, like, they didn't waste these pages. They copied these pages, or maybe they're not pages out of a notebook, but, like, he didn't want to just have them typed out.
Sure.
You know, he wanted to write them down in an artistic way.
That's cool, man. I like all the doodles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doodles and squiggly lines and ellipses.
I'm sure that there was a period of time, if you would look back at, I'm sure I went through a phase when I was younger of having a journal and like trying to write all my ideas out like Eddie Vedder, like, ooh, I better draw some shit around this and blah, 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 because that's what real like artist writers do. You know what I mean? I'm going right. to be one of those yeah. people. It's just cool. It's just, again, it's like a little glimpse into where this stuff came from.
Yeah. Well, I think... What was the quote about eating cereal? Like you you get to read the back of the cereal box while you're eating your cereal.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that's, like, what this is. Like, you get to look at something cool while you're listening and not just, you know,
yeah, typed for sure.
out lyric, just not typed out lyrics. And it's big. It's like, it is like a, it's like vinyl. It's like one thing I love about vinyl is just having the artwork in this giant square foot piece of cardboard.
Right. Well, I always, I mean, I know I've talked about it before, but I always loved, this is a great example too, of all the credits, like who's the producer, who mixed it,
right,
what label are they on, who are the mm-hmm. who are these other people that are assistant engineers or whatever.
The thank yous are just like always fun and cool to read, and I'm sure some people are like, what are you talking about?
I always know the these names.
Me too. I love it.
When I love,
you want to go through?
No, but I do. I loved well, like a couple of them, right? Like maybe, let's see if I can find an example. Let's see. I guess that would have made sense. But, you know, you see something like Doug Pinnick, and it's like, oh, well, I like his band, mm-hmm. and I didn't know they were friends. It was like this way to see, almost find out who they hung out with in a way. Like, who are the right. people that they surround themselves with that they feel like inspire right. them, whether it's musically or just in life or whatever. I felt like the thank yous were, man, I wish I knew those people too or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting to know what their circle of friends were or something.
Right. Yeah.
I like how they always split them up. Like, a lot of people always split them up too. And you knew that, okay, this list of names is, you know, from a business perspective, these are the people that helped us make the record, you know?
Right.
And then there's another section where it's like, here's all our family members we want to list. And right. then another right. section where it's like, here's all the, you know, guitar companies that have helped us out. Which obviously it's not like that anymore. But I always thought that was interesting that they had them split up like that all the time.
Yeah.
That's when I realized that some of that stuff that I consider to be album art is really just kind of a commercial too. Like the whole, you know what I mean? Like Jeff Ament plays Hamer basses.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, with these thank yous, do they have to include these? Is it like the thank you part? Is that like...
No. I don't have to. Okay. But things like...
Some bands don't do it at all. I know the producer credit and all that stuff, like mixed by Tim Palmer. That's like... That probably has to be on there because it's like the credits.
Right.
But.
Well, I mean, but maybe Jeff might have been contractually obligated to mention Hamer guitars and.
Right.
Stone. I'm sure. Yeah, he had a Gibson endorsement. So he probably. Mm. In order to get all those free guitars and shit, he probably had to agree to thank them in the liner notes.
Yeah.
I love it too that Stone Gossard plays Gibson guitars, Mike McCready plays Fender guitars. It's like all the competing companies. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right? Yeah.
Dave Cruz,
but he could have played anything on this album, right?
Oh yeah, and he did. Sure.
Yeah.
But it's fair. I mean, you think Stone Gossard? Do you think Les Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Automatically, I think. I don't know. That's right. What I think of. I don't think of any other guitar when I think of Stone Gossard, other than Les Paul. And even though Mike is the big nerd and has 1,000 guitars, I mean, to be honest with you, I think of Strat when I think of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love it when he plays the other guitars that he has. I love it when he plays a Les Paul, but I think of Mike and a Strat.
Yeah.
Just like I think of Dave A, I think of DW, you know?
Right. Yeah.
What else we got?
The 10 Club P.O. Box.
Oh, that's right. I was just looking at that.
Yeah.
P.O. Box 4570.
Yeah. I don't know. That just brings back memories, you know, of like, ooh, what's that?
It's so weird for me, too, to... this is great, actually, for me, because I haven't opened this up in forever. But yeah. I suddenly remember when you mentioned the 10 Club address being there, the P.O. Box address, I remember thinking, Seattle, Washington, man, that's like a world away, you know? It just seemed like an impossible place to get to or something from Birmingham, right. Alabama. And then now to look at it and remember having those feelings and then to go, oh, wait, but I've played all over that state and I've spent so much time in Seattle and all the estimations I had about where my life would go, none of them were right. I never thought when I was younger that I'd be talking to you with a Pearl Jam podcast and make my living as a musician pretty much my whole adult life. And you know what I'm saying? It's just so completely opposite because I was a kid and kids are dumb. You know what I mean, though?
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, they might be intelligent. Your kid might be intelligent. My kid's intelligent, but he doesn't know shit.
Yeah.
And he shows it almost every time he opens his mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, because sometimes we have really great conversations. We actually often have really great conversations. But then, and you start going, oh, man, look at him. He's so smart and da-da-da-da. And then 5 seconds later, it's like, oh, wait. He says something that completely ruins it. It's like, oh, wait. No, you're an idiot 11-year-old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to remember that. So sometimes I give you too much credit.
Yeah. The best thing is best thing about that is you can totally mess with him. If you can do it without cracking a smile, you could tell him anything and he'd believe it.
Oh, I do it all the time. My goal is to just slowly, as a parent, is just like slowly break him down. Mm-hmm. Over time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Until he's just really, it's going to be so slow that he won't even see it coming. But just as, you know, as many kind of under the breath, kind of negative comments, as much as I can shake up his self-esteem, that's my goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Really make him understand that he's worthless. It's my job as a parent. No, of course it's the opposite of that, but
right.
He's still an 11-year-old.
No, but messing with your kids is a pretty fun time.
Oh, I love it. I love using whatever the new vernacular is on purpose.
Oh, it's lit.
Knowing that
it's
sound like an idiot,
right.
And he gets so embarrassed. But he's so sweet because he's not like, oh, my God. You can tell he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. This is the times when I say something and he thinks that I'm being serious. And he'll just kind of do a sympathy chuckle and then he'll go, can you not say that ever? Please don't say that. Is that okay? And I'm like, buddy, I was kidding. Yes, I don't use, you know, whatever the new, because it changes every 3 weeks now on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what did you say? Did you say lit?
Yeah, it's lit.
That's
making fun of my kids, not making fun of them, but like goofing around with them.
Right. Yeah, that's like lit. 6 years old, man.
That's why I like saying it.
And in internet, you know, years, that's fucking, that's 127 years ago.
Right. Yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I get that. I like that angle. I try and stay up on it so I can use the newest thing and really fucking freak them out.
That's
you know?
True, too. Yeah.
I think we're done. Are we done talking about this?
I think we are.
All right.
Here it is. CD. Yeah.
CD.
That's it. We're good.
I got my CD at my hotel. All right. Well, let's get the hell out of here.
All right.
That was fun. Everyone. I've always loved their packaging. It's like, I don't know. It's such an important part of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
That was fun. We'll find some other ones. Yeah, we should definitely do a no-code one, maybe. Unless it's the most fucking boring thing to listen to, which
might let us know.
Yeah. So, all right, cool, man. Well, it's back to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, we'll still be here.
Yeah, dude. All right, bud. Thanks for listening.
Well, wait.
Oh, God, what?
What's next week?
Oh, yeah, dude. Next time we all get together, It's gigaton time, my friends.
Yes. Did we talk about it on the episode about how the band has been putting out snippets on Facebook and Instagram? We did?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was before we started or not.
Yeah, sometimes I get confused too.
Yeah, well.
No, I think we already talked about that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait till next week, Gigatron.
Yeah, I cannot overstate enough how excited I am about this record.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll figure out a good way to cover it. But
I hope I sound okay. Oh, God, you sound beautiful.
Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek, saying the whole world will be different soon. The whole world will be relieved.
Hot damn. Not only was that a good choice, but you came right in there with it. There was no like shuffling papers
and wait a minute. I'm not ready. Wait, what did I do?
Man, like a fucking professional.
You know what's great about that? I had another quote laid out, and I just switched it up at the last second, and you didn't even realize it.
Man, on the spot.
Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye.